All right. Now you're wondering why I'm dressed so well. Now we have been in a series on the topic of grace. This radical idea that is right at the center of Christianity. It's the distinctive message. And we've been trying to take a really deep dive into it, starting with just really getting a fundamental understanding of what grace is and why we need it. And so we've been talking about how all of us are in desperate need of grace, that we're sinners, we're rotten apples, we're corrupt to the core. Like as it puts in Ephesians chapter 2, that all of us lived among them for a time, gratifying the cravings of the sinful nature and following in its thoughts and desires. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, that I deserve hell. If I got what I deserve, I would be separated from God eternally, and I would be eradicated from this world right now. That is a huge, huge problem. We don't like to think about it very much, but that's the truth. That's the truth about human nature. That's the truth about my soul. I deserve punishment. I deserve to be separated from God. And so, you know, as we cry out to God, God, would you please eradicate the sin in the world? On some level, what we are asking God to do is we're asking him to eradicate humankind. So we need grace desperately. That's also why the good news is so good. Because God, in his mercy, didn't give us what we deserve, right? We deserve punishment, but what he did is instead of just leaving us to our own devices, he made it personal. He joined our humanity. He joined our mess. He came and he paid the punishment for our sins. He took our punishment on himself. You excited about that? That's one of the things that Jesus did for us. We've been talking about how Jesus conquered death on our behalf. How through Jesus, the power of sin and death in the world has been broken forever. Christ is our victory. That's why grace is so good. Amen? Good. And how Jesus, as he took on our humanity, as he represents us before God, he changes us. He changes humanity. So when God looks at us, when God looks at you, he sees the righteousness of Christ. That Jesus becomes like the new Adam, the new representative of humanity before God. And so we are different. We are fundamentally changed because of what Jesus Christ accomplished for us on the cross 2,000 years ago. Already done, already accomplished. That's good news, right? I love the way that Tim Keller puts it. Let me put that quote up on the screen. He says this: the gospel is this, we are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dare believe. Yet at the same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. That's good news. Does everybody have a piece of tape? Okay, thanks. Okay, good. You can keep the tape. That's good. We're good to go. But thank you. So it's essential that we have a fundamental understanding of grace. Because when we miss out on the fact that we are sinful and flawed, when we forget that, we gravitate into self-righteousness. You've encountered this, right? We're just being judgmental of the sins in the world around us and the people around us, forgetting that we ourselves are part of the problem. And it's essential that we remember how much Jesus has accomplished for us on the cross through his sacrifice on our behalf, through his victory over sin and death, through his representing us before God. Because otherwise we forget how much we matter to him. You matter to God. He loves you and me and us enough that rather than be separated from us, he would come from heaven to earth to live a human life and die an incredibly painful human death on our behalf to accomplish these things. You matter to God, period. And when we, if we forget that stuff, then we can cycle down into guilt and shame and all these kind of things. And so we've been talking about it's remembering who we are in Christ that empowers us for transformational living. Or here's the big idea of today as we go deeper and we move into Ephesians chapter 4. Is that we can live changed because we've been changed. Say that with me. We can live changed because we've been changed. So we're looking to apply grace to our life. You know, the first three chapters of Ephesians is about grace to us. And then as Pastor Chris started to talk, you know, last week in Ephesians 5, then as chapters 4 and 5 and beyond, it's God's grace through us. We need to understand grace so that we can apply grace. Both are essential. But as we move into Ephesians chapter 4, where this is a passage all about what it means to apply the grace of God in our lives and in a way that we relate to one another. We can live changed because we've been changed. This morning I want to try something that for me is a bit of a new thing. God's been working in my heart in some kind of neat ways in the areas of prayer and some neat ways in the areas of just enjoying the scriptures. And so what we're going to do for the next couple minutes is I actually just want us to hear Ephesians chapter 4 verse 17 through 5:2. God's been just challenging me just to marinate, just to revel, to enjoy his word. So we're just going to go through those passages without any commentary, and then we're going to come back and kind of go through it again, and I'm going to poke a little bit. You know, we're going to make some of the connections, because as we'll come to see in this passage, you know, this passage is all about what it means to live as changed people because grace has changed us. And so it uses this metaphor of the things in our life that we need to take off, the old stuff that doesn't apply to us anymore, so that we can put on the new and who we really are. So I say to you then, therefore, and insist on it in the Lord, you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. This is where the Bible verses are actually coming up on the screen, if you're interested in the back. You must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They have been darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that's in them, due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality, and they indulge in all sorts of impurity, and they're full of greed. That, however, is not what you were taught. As you learned about Christ and were instructed in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. See, you were taught in regards to your former way of living to put off the old self, which is corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to their neighbor, because we're all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, and don't give the devil a foothold. Now, those of you who have been stealing must steal no more, but must work and do something useful with their hands, that there may be something to share with those who are in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their need, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So get rid of all bitterness, anger, rage, brawling and slander, and every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate with one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore. As dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved you and gave himself up for you as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is God's word. So the passage starts off like this. So I insist on this in the Lord, you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. We've got to talk about that for a moment, because see, the term Gentile is an ethnic term. In the Bible, it kind of categorizes people into two kind of broad brushstroke categories: people who are Jewish and people who are not Jewish. People who are Jewish are called Jewish. People who are not Jewish are called Gentile. Right. Now, in this passage, Paul is referring not only to the ethnic group, but more broadly to the entire culture. These are Jews and Gentiles who are new believers in the city of Ephesus, and they're surrounded with the Gentile culture. So, you know, those early Christians in Ephesus, they were dealing with, you know, the religions of Rome, the, you know, might makes right and the power at all costs and victory is everything kind of mentality of Rome. And so, you know, Paul reminds the Ephesians, and he reminds us today, you must not live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking, right? Now, we don't necessarily live in a Greco-Roman culture, but we live in a culture that has values. And what we often forget is those values, they surround us all the time. And those values, they're like a religion. They're a worldview. They're a philosophy. And it is a philosophy that is futile, that is not heading in the direction of God. Now, there's a whole number of things we could talk about with that today, but among other things, I mean, just think about some of the dominant messages that we are being fed in culture and in social media. Because here's one of the aspects. This is why, among other reasons, why it's so important that we dedicate our kids to the Lord, why we learn to, you know, have appropriate guardrails up on the internet when we're parenting, because there is a dominant message in our culture. There is a religion of our culture. There is a worldview of our culture that says that you are the center of the world. It's all about you. It's all about you achieving what you want to achieve. It's all about you getting what you want, when you want it, how you want it, right away. It's all about you. Have you ever noticed that, like, even when you're internet surfing, you know, let's say you did a search for, I don't know, discount Colombian coffee. And then now on your Facebook page, you know, every couple of things, there's some, like, they're watching you. Because the information world that we live in, it swirls around you. That is the religion of our land. It is all about you. It's all about you, all about you. And the goal of your life is to get what you want, among other things. You need to hear this clearly, church. Do not live as the Gentiles do. In the futility of their thinking, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God due to the ignorance that is in them, due to the hardening of their hearts. Do you really, like, I mean, it is almost as if people believe, you know, when we stand before the Lord one day, and an account is made for our life, as if somebody, you know, we would almost like we'd be, think we'd be saying, well, I wasn't really certain about your existence, but, you know, I just wanted to let you know, Lord, that I did pretty good. I got the things I wanted. I know I didn't pay any attention to you at all, but I did it my way. Do I get a cookie? It's futile. Well, you think about it, church. Like, one of the leading reasons why Christianity is on the decline, why many of us have kids and grandkids and that are struggling in their walk, why the next generation is not picking up the faith, is because we have trained them in our generation to believe that following Jesus isn't actually that important. What really matters is you getting what you want. That service and sacrifice, living for Christ, is secondary, not primary. So it's important that we understand that. We are in a battle. It is not neutral. And there are weeks where it is literally a life and death struggle. Literally a life and death struggle for meaning and hope. And that's not the way that you were trained when you first heard about Christ. See, we were taught in regards to our former ways to put off the old self, to be made new in the attitude of our minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Remember that Jesus is our example of righteousness and holiness. His righteousness is not self-righteousness. His holiness is not just avoiding the bad things, but engaging in the things that matter. The holiness of Jesus looks a lot like serving the poor. The holiness of Jesus looks a lot like touching the leper. The holiness of Jesus looks a whole lot like reaching out to the people on the margins of society to let them know that God loves them and values them. We are called to be people of true righteousness and true holiness. One of the things I love about, or I've been coming to discover and love about, you know, as we read these larger passages of Scripture, and I've been learning to read these larger passages of Scripture, is it says, therefore put off, can we put that up on the screen? I know you're probably having a really hard time following me in the back right now. But to put off falsehood and speak truthfully to one another. And then it says right after that, in your anger, go just like click two. We're almost there. All right. Okay. So put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. And then it says right after that, in your anger, do not sin. And don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Don't give the devil a foothold, right? I don't know about you, I didn't notice it until I started to read it in these larger blocks. So often we read the scripture as here's a verse and a little devotional and you pray and that's great. But start to read the scriptures in a larger block. Like, so put off falsehood, speak truthfully to your neighbor, and guess what? Sometimes the truth really hurts. Sometimes we don't want to hear the truth. So in your anger, do not sin. Or sometimes, you know, we get all angry with somebody and we're just like, well, I'm just gonna tell them the truth, right? We can do the right thing for the wrong reasons. And as we look to apply grace to our life, we're reminded those are the things that of the old ways that we're supposed to be putting off, supposed to be taking off. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work and do something useful with their hands that they may have something to share with those in need. Anybody here steal? Didn't think so. But how many people here have been at work, and while you're on the clock with the boss, while you're on the clock, you're also you're working social media. Yeah, no, you don't need to put up your hands. I don't need a confession there. But see, yeah, okay. If you're posting church stuff, not just silly memes. Yeah, got it. Yes. And so you may not steal stuff, but we are prone to steal time. We may not steal stuff, but I'm not even going to ask you whether you've got music on your playlist that you got for free, or whether you've been on BitTorrent to get a movie before you can actually rent it, or the times where you might be tempted to steal the credit from somebody else. To pretend like the good idea that everybody's all excited about, that was yours. And so don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is beneficial for building each other up. That it may benefit those who listen. If you really, this is the passage that's actually for me just been enormously convicting this week. You start thinking like, okay, I'm really following Jesus. So how many times do words come out of your mouth where you're just more excited about saying you're excited about communicating something? You're not necessarily thinking about how do these words actually build somebody else up? Is this just the truth, or is this the truth that's going to help somebody? Am I just saying this to get something off my chest? Or am I really trying to help the people around me thrive? Oh Lord, I am a sinner. So get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and malice, and be kind and compassionate with each other, forgiving one another, just as in Christ, God forgave you. It's interesting, the link between bitterness and forgiveness. Now, I don't have time to go into, because I'm almost out of time today, to go into some of the elements of forgiveness. I hope you can join me Thursday night. We're going to do a deep dive just onto that topic, because for some of us, if we're poking, at this list a little bit today, forgiveness is one of the greatest challenges you and I will face as we look to live as people of grace, as we look to process the hurts in our life. And when we forgive, it can create, when it's appropriate, can create the avenue for the restoration of a relationship. But sometimes that's not even possible. In those cases, it's still important to forgive, because otherwise, that root of bitterness can get into our hearts. It's like venom. It's like toxin. And it turns into something. So get rid of all bitterness, because bitterness can turn into rage, anger, brawling, and slander. So let's look to apply this to our life today. Here's where I want us to talk about the tape, okay? My goal for today was just that we would hear God's word and allow it to speak to us a little bit. Let me just hit one more thing before we do the tape thing, okay? There's a verse in there that says, "And don't grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. If you've given your heart to Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit in your life. And this passage reminds us that the things that we can do that can quench the work of the Holy Spirit, and there's things that we can do that will kind of energize the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. Every time we surrender ourselves to Christ in new ways, there's an energy that happens. Some of you, as I was just speaking the words of Scripture, you felt something, right? You're like, wow, that's God's word. See, that's the Holy Spirit. That's like, it's like when we hear the word of God, it's like the engine starts to rev and giving us power for a transformed life. Vroom, 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 all that stuff. And every time we choose bitterness, falsehood, when we choose malice or slander, we choose to live for ourselves rather than for Christ and for others, quench, can grieve the work of the Holy Spirit. So as we listen to God today, as you listen to God today, here's what I'd like us to do. So I want to invite us to pray. And then I'm just going to read through, just for lack of a better word, just the list. The things that we have been called to put off. Because I want to ask you this question. What is Jesus calling you today to put off? And so as you listen to the list, invite you to just seek God. Lord, what are you looking to do in my life? How are you looking to grow me in my faith? And then as something comes to mind, I want to invite you to rip the tape off. Put off. It's just as a way of saying, Lord, I'm asking you to help me put off, take off this part of my life. This is part of the old me. The old self. That's being corrupted with deceitful desires, the ways of the flesh. Lord, I'm putting this off. And then as we hear the things in this passage, it's inviting us to put on. I invite you to open your hands and listen to the Spirit's work in your life. What is he inviting you into? So what's Jesus calling you to put off? We're going to do that. What's Jesus calling you to put on? What's he inviting you into? So congregation, just invite you to lean in on Jesus. If that means closing your eyes, but just that posture of prayer. So Lord, this passage tells us to put off twisted forms of sensuality, to put off impurity, to put off greed, to put off lying, to put off uncontrolled anger and stealing, to put off unwholesome or unhelpful speech, to put off bitterness, rage, slander, malice, to put off unforgiveness. And Lord, we admit that there are aspects of the old life that still linger. But right now, this morning, we ask for your help. So just invite you under your breath, friends, to maybe just think of something. Whether that's something from that list or something that the Holy Spirit is just impressing on your heart. Some aspect of your life that you're saying, Lord, I know that is representative of the old me. That's not who I am now, but it's been clinging on. Lord, help me to take it off. And as that item comes to mind, I just invite you to rip the strip. Take it off. Take it off. That's not you anymore. That's not who you are in Christ. Take it off. Take it off. Take it off. That's right. Take it off. It might sting a bit if you take it off. Take it off anyways. Take it off. And so, Lord, we know that you're calling us to put on that new mental attitude, to put on true righteousness, to put on true holiness, to put on truthfulness, hard work, generosity, words that build others up, to put on kindness, to put on compassion, to put on forgiveness, to put on sacrificial love, because that's how you have loved us. So I just invite you, as one or more of those areas, as the Spirit just stirs on your heart today, just to open your hands to it. Say, Lord, help me to grow in this aspect of who I am, who you've called me to be, and in how you see me. And perhaps for some today, as we're going through this, you're realizing, you know, my life has not been surrendered to Christ yet. Just want to invite you to take that step, to ask him into your life and into your heart, to ask him to be your forgiver, to make personal what Jesus has already done for you, to pay for your sin, to conquer death on your behalf, to give you a new identity in Christ. If that's you, I want to give you a chance to respond. We don't put people on the spot here, but if that's you and you're like, I just need to give my heart to Jesus. Can we make eye contact right now? Okay. Yes. I see you. Thank you, Jesus, that you are doing new things in people's lives right now in this room. This is a place of spiritual transformation, that your Holy Spirit is at work. So, congregation, just invite us to pray out loud together. Would you just join me in prayer? Jesus, change me. Make me new today. Fill me with your Spirit. Thank you that you died for me, that you rose for me, and that you are changing me from the inside out. I give myself to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we just give God a hand for what he's doing in our midst today?